Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. It's great to pause this afternoon and just spend a bit of time in God's Word. I hope you've had a blessed day, and I hope you're looking forward to turning back to 1 John. If you missed out yesterday, we just started our way into 1 John again, which is really exciting. It's a set of letters that I really appreciate. I love the writings of John. The Gospel of John has meant a lot to me. Revelation, I find very, very fascinating, and the letters of John as well. So let's, with no more waiting, let's turn to the letter of John. 1 John, and we're going to be reading 4 or 5, I lost count, 5 to 10, that's right, look at me go. Sorry, I've been having some internet issues before turning this on, and it's throwing me off a little bit. But that's all right. 1 John, chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into it, that we would see the light of your wonderful face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this section here we're actually going to be hanging out in for the next quite a few days. And it's because of the way it's broken up. It was either do it as one chunk, but I just felt like there was so much in here to unpack in one day without being together for 40-odd minutes that I thought rather than that, we'll just take every verse as we march our way through it. Because really, every verse breaks up really beautifully the grammar of this section. And so in verse 5, you get the doctrinal statement. You get a statement of doctrine, that is, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And that's what we're going to look at today. And then after that, John unrolls or explains the implication of that doctrine. So the doctrine, God is light, there's no darkness in him. And then he goes to the implication of that. And he does that by making 5 what we call conditional statements. And so a conditional statement is, if this, then that. If this, then that is the general way it goes. And so if you look at the verses 6 through 10, you see, if we say, but if we walk, if we say, if we confess, if we say. And he brings his teaching out using these conditional statements. And so we're going to look at the doctrine today and then every day take another one of these conditional statements and see how it relates back to this doctrine and why these things are true and why it impacts the way we must live our lives. And so the doctrine, as I said, is God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But notice where John roots this doctrine. John roots this doctrine in his apostolic testimony, in his apostolic witness. Have a look at the first part of verse 5. This is the message we have heard and proclaimed to you. And you might remember that yesterday we looked at the fact and we talked briefly about the fact that John had been a witness to Christ. He had seen and heard and felt and touched Jesus Christ himself. And so his testimony was sure and true. And John roots back into that same place. And it's actually fundamentally extremely important. You see, we remember that all of the church's truth and understanding is built upon the foundation of what? According to the book of Ephesians, I wonder if you can remember. According to the book of Ephesians, we are built upon the teaching of the apostles and the prophets who put their foundation upon Christ. So you get Christ, and then you get the apostles and the prophets, in other words, all the teachers of the scriptures. And this is a great reminder when we come to doctrine that we need not look any other place than the Word of God. It's very tempting to be caught up in what's a very popular way of understanding the Christian faith now, which is we need a new revelation. We need new spiritual voices today. The Bible's not enough. It's a very dangerous trap to fall into. And we must instead trust upon the Word of God. But let's look at this doctrine. God is light. What does it mean for God to be light? Well, it's interesting that John doesn't say God is the light or God is a light, but he says God is light. And this is pretty important because maybe you'll remember that in John 1, he says that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus comes as the light of the world, but God isn't the light or a light. He is light. And so John's talking about the very essence and character of God. He's about to address lives and how we live as Christians. And so he roots the way we act in the essence and character of God. Why would John do that? Well, it's the same reason. He would do it for the same reason that Peter would connect in 1 Peter. The fatherhood of God and our son and daughtership in God as being why we do what we do. We live as Christians, Peter would argue, because we're sons and daughters of God. Because he's our father, because of the very character of God. And so John says the same thing. God is light. But what does it mean to say God is light? What is light? Why does he use the analogy of light? I mean, we know God isn't actually light. John isn't saying that the light that comes from your light bulb is God. What is it about the character and the essence of light which reflects what God is like so well? Well, firstly, we know that light reveals, doesn't it? It doesn't matter how dark the darkness is. It doesn't matter how far out in the boondocks you are, or out in the wop-wops, or wherever you're from, the country. It doesn't matter how dark it is, the tiniest little speck of light will cause you to be able to see and understand. And there's a sense in which this is how light shows us what God is like. There's no deepness or thickness of darkness, and there's no ability to shroud and God not to be able to reveal. God is the ultimate revealer of truth. God reveals holiness. God reveals goodness. God reveals salvation. God reveals his son. God reveals himself. But not only does light reveal and so does God, light fights darkness, doesn't it? And in that revealing work, we see that with the light. You know, if you flick a match in the middle of the darkness, the darkness flees, doesn't it? The darkness doesn't remain. If you turn a light bulb on, the darkness can't stay there with the light. No, the darkness has to leave. And of course, we know this to be true of God, don't we? Sin cannot abide in the presence of God. Sin cannot abide in the presence of God. No, when God appears, darkness, wickedness, and evil flees. And this is why John's going to go on to say that we must live godly lives, because if we are God's and God's people, if we are God's people, then we will live for the things that are with God and not away from God. But the light not only fights the darkness, the light shines in radiant splendor, doesn't it? Isn't it true that it's a bit burning on your eyes to stare at the sun? I remember being a little kid and getting some of those cheap, like real cheap sunglasses. Maybe you can remember them. They were plastic frames and they had multi colors on the front, and they're just amazingly cool, when I was about 7. And I got some of them and thought, oh, great, now I can look at the sun. Yeah, I was pretty smart, I know. So I put them on and I looked at the sun, and it didn't take long before my eyes were watering and my eyes were burning, and it didn't feel too good, obviously. But this isn't just with the sun. I mean, even the light bulb above my head, if I stare at that, it begins to burn my eyes, because light is bright and brilliant and radiant. And God is infinitely more so. God's majesty and splendor shine brilliantly bright, and the darkness flees from it. It erupts from him. This is why every Old Testament revelation grapples with language to express what they see as they gaze upon the glory of God. It's why John himself in Revelation will struggle to describe the splendor of the majesty of God as his light pours forth in majestic display of God. And it's why in the end of Revelation, the Bible says we will have no need for a sun. Of course, literally, I don't think it's saying we don't need a sun. But the point is, God's majesty and glory will be so close, you'll barely see the sun, because the light of God will be shining forth. But then lastly, light is pure, isn't it? You can't have part light, part darkness. You can have different dimmed light bulbs, but you can only have light. You can't mingle light and dark together. You can't. You just have different shades of light, but you don't have different shades of darkness, do you? The light in and of itself is pure, and there's no darkness in it. And of course, God is the same, isn't he? There is no sin in God. He is ultimately pure, or as the Hebrews describes him, he is a consuming fire. This is why when Israel sinned in the wilderness, the fire of God came out and consumed them. Not because God's some angry guy with a grudge, but because the pure radiant splendor of God was dwelling amongst them. And when sin came into the camp, it consumed it. Just like if the dark was to come into your bedroom at night and your light bulb's on, it would get consumed by the light, wouldn't it? The light would banish it from the presence. And this is what God is. God is light. He is the revelation of all things good, holy, and pure. He is the one that fights against darkness and evil. He is the one who shines brightly in radiant splendor, and he is utterly pure. And this is really important, because doctrine and theology, true doctrine and true theology, drive holy lives. That's why John's addressing the readers, because they have false teachers. The same thing Peter was doing. They have false teachers. They have Gnostics who are seeking to undermine the true teaching of the gospel. And so John is concerned that this false teaching of the doctrine is going to undermine even the very lives these believers are living. You see, because what you believe is going to drive how you live. But even more so, what you believe matters, because your salvation depends on it. Not because correct theology will save you. Correct theology will not save you. But wrong theology will send you to hell. Let me say that again. Correct theology will not save you. Only Christ does that. Correct theology will not save you. Only Christ saves. But bad theology will send you to hell, because bad theology will lead you to believe things that aren't true. And so doctrine matters, theology matters, because it's going to affect your life and the way you live for God. but it's also going to affect your salvation. And so John, before opening up how he wants these people to live, he roots it in the very character and the essence of God. And so over the next few days, we're going to keep coming back to this. We're going to keep coming back to this theme of there being light in God and no darkness at all. As we move forward through this whole gospel, but really in your whole life, one of the things I want to really encourage you to do is never stop growing in your understanding of God. It's really an essential aspect of being a believer. If you stopped growing in the knowledge of your husband or wife, it would be disastrous for your relationship, wouldn't it? Well, it's the same thing with God. We want to keep growing, as Peter would say at the end of his letter, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We pray that you would watch over us. Give us a growth in knowledge and grace. We thank you, God, that you are light, that in you there is no darkness, that we never have to doubt whether what you say is true. And we pray that you would help us as your children to put on the same character. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the Lord's richest blessings to you this evening, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow, same place, same time. Have a great night.